At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Let's be real, fellas. Yesterday was not my best day. I got into it with somebody that matters the world to me. And I walked away from that conversation feeling like I blew. My thoughts were running wild, my words were sharp, and my reaction, let's just say it doesn't reflect the man I want to be. If you've ever felt the punch in the gut, that regret after saying or doing something that you shouldn't, this episode's for you. Today, we're going to be talking about how God can step into the middle of our mess and help us think better, respond better, and react better, even when it feels like we've already blown it. It's not about being perfect. It's about letting God take over so that we can stop wrecking the things we care about the most. Let's dig in. Welcome back to Renegades, Man of Faith and Fortitude. I'm your host, as always, Preacher Joe. And around here, we don't tiptoe around. We tackle it head on with honesty, grit, and God's word. Today, I'm speaking straight out of my own life. See, I lost my cool. It cost me dearly. But instead of wallowing in regret, I want to talk about what God is teaching me through it. How to surrender our thoughts, our words, and our reactions to Him. Because let's face it, folks. The world does not teach us how to fight the right way. It tells us to react, to defend, and win at all costs. But God calls us to something higher, something better. So if you have ever let your emotions get the best of you, or you have felt like you are stuck in a cycle of saying and doing the wrong things, like I said before, folks, this episode for you. Grab yourself a cup of coffee, sit back, and let's ride. Before we end, let me ask you this. What is the one thing that you wish that you could take back from a fight or... Is it the way that you reacted, the words that you used, or maybe, just maybe, the fact that you didn't say or do what you knew you should have? Watch it, drop your comment, I want you to drop your answer in the comments below or shoot me a message. I want to hear from you. And while you're at it, hit that like button, share this episode, and subscribe. Help spread the word so that we can keep building this brotherhood of men who are striving to be better. Oh, and if you're looking for practical tools to grow in your faith, I want you to grab a copy of my book, Men of Faith and Fortitude, Redefining Masculinity in Christ. It's packed with stories, packed with scriptures, and real talk about what it means to be a godly man in today's world. Available now at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Links down in the description. Now, moving on. We need to start thinking better, guys. The battle starts in your mind. According to Proverbs 23:7, it says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So let me tell you something straight. If you're losing the battle in your head, you're going to lose the battle in your life. Your mind is where everything starts. Your decisions, your actions, even the way that you treat people around you. If your thoughts are out of control, your life will be too. Take it from me. Yesterday, my mind was a mess. Frustration was running the show. Pride was screaming louder than wisdom. And because I did not take the time to check my thoughts, they spilled out of my mouth and into the actions like a busted pipe. Here's the truth. If you don't let God get a hold of your mind, the enemy will. It's not just a possibility, it's a guarantee. See, the enemy thrives in the chaos of unchecked thoughts. He'll twist them, magnify them, and use them to tear you down from the inside out. That's why the Bible is crystal clear when it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, according to Romans 12:2. Notice, I want you to notice something. It does not say renew your mind once, as you are. It does not say renew your mind once and you're good. No, this is a daily work. It's a battle you fight every single day. Think about it. I want you to think about it like this. Your mind is like a garden. Whatever you plant is going to grow. If you're planting seeds of negativity, fear, pride, guess what you're going to sprout? A whole lot of shit. A whole lot of weeds. But if you're intentional about planting seeds of faith, gratitude, and trust in God, you're going to see growth that aligns with His will. So how do you fight back when your thoughts are spiraling out of control? First, recognize the pattern. Do not let toxic thoughts set up shop in your head. Do not let them live there rent free. Second, replace those lies with God's truth. When your mind tells you you're not good enough, remind yourself of what God says in Psalm 139:14. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. When your thoughts scream, you'll never get through this. I want you to stand on the promise in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And finally, pray like your life depends on it, because it does. The next time you feel negativity creeping in, do not wait for it to take over. Stop, pray, and pray this. God, take control of my mind. Help me think the way that you want me to think. I know it sounds simple, but here's the deal. Simple does not mean easy. It's going to take discipline it's going to take to admit that you cannot do this alone. But here's the promise. When you give God control of your thoughts, he gives you peace in return. And not just any peace. According to Philippians 4:7, the kind that surpasses all understanding. That one prayer, God take over my mind, can change the entire trajectory of your day. It can change the entire trajectory of your week, of your life. You'll start seeing people differently. You'll start responding to challenges differently. And most importantly, you'll start walking in alignment with God's purpose for you. So don't wait until your thoughts are out of control to give them to God. Start every morning by saying, Lord, my mind is yours. Shape it, guard it, use it for your glory. Because when your mind is right, everything else in your life will start to fall into place. The second thing we need to start doing is start responding better. Words that build, not break. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I know we all heard that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Let's not sugarcoat it now. Words are weapons. They can build someone up like a fortress, or they can cut them down like a blade. And yesterday, I used mine recklessly. Instead of speaking life, I let my emotions load the gun and pull that trigger. And the second that I pulled that trigger, I knew I'd cause damage. The regret hit me like a truck. Here's a cold, hard truth, brothers. Just because a thought pops in your head does not mean it belongs on your tongue. A lot of us, myself included, get caught up in the heat of the moment, thinking that we have something to say. But the reality is, most of the time, saying nothing is the best option. You ever notice how in those moments of anger and frustration that we say the things that we regret the most? That's not a coincidence. That's pride, pain, and insecurity speaking louder than wisdom. And let me tell you, that is the exact moment you need to pause, take a deep breath, and check yourself. Ask yourself this, is what I'm about to say going to fix the situation, or is it just going to scratch my ego? Let's talk about the power of words. Proverbs 18:21 does not mince words when it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about that for a second. Your words have the power to give life or to destroy it. That's not a metaphor. That's truth. That's real. You can literally speak life into your marriage, your friendships, your kids, your coworkers, or you can suck the life out of them with reckless, thoughtless words. This is where God steps in. He didn't give us the ability to communicate just so that we could win or prove a point. He gave us words to heal, to encourage, and to reflect on his grace. If your words don't do those things, you're not serving the purpose God intended for them. Here's what I learned a lot. This is what I learned the hard way, right? For one, pause before you speak. James 1:19, the Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I want you to notice that quick to speak is not in there. Why? Because when you speak in haste, you're almost always speaking from a place of emotion, not wisdom. So before you say anything, pause. Give yourself a moment to let God in before your emotions take over. Two, pray for discernment. When you're standing in the middle of a heated conversation, the enemy is going to whisper all kinds of things in your ears. Saying this, and he's going to tell you, say this. They deserve it. But don't forget, God's there too, reminding you of the bigger picture. Take a second to pray, even if it's under your breath. God, give me the words that heal, not hurt. Help me speak from your wisdom, not from my pride. Three, choose words that build. When you do speak, ask yourself, are these words adding value? Are they building this person up? Are they a reflection of God's grace? If the answer is no, hold your damn tongue. Silence is better than words that wound. And fourth, own your mistakes. When you screw up, and trust me, you will. Don't let pride keep you from making it. Don't let pride keep you from making it right. Go back and apologize. Admit where you were wrong and ask for forgiveness. It's not weakness, folks. It's strength. Owning your mistakes, show the people in your life that you care about them more than you care about yourself. Owning your mistakes, show the people in your life that you care more about them than you care about being right. The most beautiful thing about God is that he does not leave us in the mess that we make. Even when we have used our words to hurt, he can step in and bring healing. But we have to invite him into our conversations before the damage is done. Words are powerful, brothers, but they don't have to control you. God can take the ugliest parts of your heart, the anger, the pride, the frustration, and transform them into grace, kindness, and truth. When you surrender your tongue to him, you'll find yourself speaking life into places where there was only death before. So next time that you're standing at the edge of ready to let loose, stop, pause, and pray. Ask God to help you see the person in front of you the way that he does, okay? Let your words reflect his love, not your frustration. Because at the end of the day, it's not about winning the fight. It's about building something that lasts. And words that build are always stronger than words that break. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that taketh the city. Let's be honest. Reactions are like grenades. When you pull that pin, they're fast, loud, and they're destructive. They come from your gut, not your head. And if you're not careful, they can wipe out everything and everyone in their path. I know this because I've been there way too many times. Yesterday was one of those times. My reaction was not controlled, and it showed. I let frustration and pride hit the gas pedal, and before I knew it, I was in a place I did not want to be, saying and doing things I regretted the second that they happened. Here's what I learned. Anger in itself is not the problem. Even Jesus got angry. You remember when he flipped the tables in the temple, right? See, the issue is not anger. It's what we do with it. God calls us to be slow to anger because reacting in the heat of the moment almost always leads to damage that we cannot undo. When we react without thinking, without praying, we are not operating from a place of strength. We're operating from a place of weakness. Proverbs 16:32 says that being slow to anger makes you mightier than warrior who conquers a city. Let's think about that for a minute. In God's eyes, the ability to control your temper is more powerful than any physical feat of strength. Why? Yeah, preacher, why? I don't get it. Because it takes more strength to control yourself than to control anyone or anything else. The world tells us that self-control is weakness, right? That if you don't lash out, you're soft. See, but the truth is, self-control is the ultimate display of strength. It shows that you're not a slave to your emotions, that you're operating on a higher level, one that reflects God's character. But Preacher Joe, why reacting? Why does it hurt so quickly? You see, I'm glad you asked that question. Reactions born out of anger or frustration are almost always fueled by pride, right? See, we want to defend ourselves, prove a point, or get the last word in. But here's the kicker. That instant reaction might make you feel better for 5 seconds, but it's going to cost you something much greater. And what is that? Your peace, your relationships, even your integrity. Now, every harsh word, every slammed door, every impulsive action leaves a mark. And while we can't apologize, the damage is often already done. That's why God tells us to pray as you are. That's why God tells us to pause, to slow down, to rule over our spirits instead of letting them rule over us. Well, hey, Preacher Joe, how do I slow down the explosion? Great question, guys. Great question. One, pause before you react. When you feel that fire rising in your chest, I want you to stop. Don't speak. Don't say nothing at all. I don't want you to act. I want you to breathe. That pause is the very moment to reset. That pause is your moment to reset. It's your chance to step out of the emotion and into God's peace. Even if all you can do in that moment is take one deep breath. That split second can be the difference between reacting in anger and responding with wisdom. The second thing I want you to do is pray. Even a short prayer. Sometimes all you have to do, or as you were, sometimes all you have time for is God help me. And let me tell you, that's enough. The simple act of turning to God in the heat of the moment invites his presence into the situation. When you bring him into your reactions, he gives you the strength to respond in a way that reflects his love instead of your frustration. Thirdly, ask yourself what matters most. In that very moment, everything feels urgent. See, but take a step back and ask yourself, what's at stake here? Is this worth losing my peace over? Is this worth damaging a relationship? When you see the bigger picture, it's easier to let go of the need to react instantly. And lastly, know when to walk away. See, sometimes the best reaction is no reaction at all. Walking away does not mean that you're weak. It means you're wise. If the situation is too heated, step away. Calm down. Come back to it later when you can approach it with a clear mind and a steady heart. Well, Preacher Joe, what's God's role in all this? What's God's role in our reactions? Let me be real with you. Self-control isn't something that you can just will yourself off. Self-control is not something you can just will yourself to have. It's not about gritting your teeth and trying harder. It's a gift from God, a fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:22-23. When you ask God for help, he shows up. He gives you the strength to pause, the wisdom to choose your words carefully, and the grace to respond in a way that honors him. Here's the most beautiful part. Even when we mess up, even when your reaction causes damage, God's grace is big enough to cover it. He can heal those broken, as he can heal what's been broken and teach you how to do better next time. You see, one small prayer can create one big change. One big change. Next time you feel yourself about to explode, don't rely on your own strength. You know why? Because you will fail every single time. Instead, pause, breathe, pray. God, help me see this through your eyes. Help me react in a way that reflects your heart, not my emotions. That one prayer can save a relationship. It can protect your reputation. It can give you peace when you normally feel chaos. More importantly, it can keep you aligned with the man God is calling you to be. A man who does not let anger control him, but who chooses self-control as a sign of true strength. Now, before I go any further, I want to invite you to something special. This Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, I'm hosting a Thanksgiving Live episode on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. We're going to be talking about finding gratitude when there's nothing to be grateful for. I know the holidays are not easy for everybody. For some of us, this time of year brings more pain than joy. But we're going to come together, share stories, and discover how to find gratitude even in the darkest times. If you're feeling alone, overwhelmed, or just looking for a real connection this Thanksgiving, don't miss it. I cannot wait to see you there. And if you want more tools to grow as a man of faith and fortitude, grab a copy of my book, Man of Faith and Fortitude, Redefining Masculinity in Christ. It's packed with practical advice, raw stories, and biblical truth to help you step into the man God created you to be. Get it now. Get it now on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The link is down in the description. Also, you want to rep the message? Check out Warrior Spirit Warehouse, where we outfit the battle-ready believer. We have anything from hats to t-shirts to doggy bandanas. Man, we got everything from your little newborn baby to dad, all the way down to our four-legged furry friends. We got gear that reminds you to live boldly and unapologetically in your faith. Head over to the store. Grab something for yourself or someone that you care about. Link is also down in the description. And if this podcast is making an impact in your life, consider supporting the mission. Every dollar helps keep the content coming and spreads this message of faith and fortitude to men who need it most. You can donate directly at our website, Man of Faith, as you are, RenegadeArtStudio.com, or you can just links down in the description as well. Let's keep building this brotherhood together. Now, back to our normally scheduled. I'm just joking. Anyways, so here's your full throttle moment. Here's the part that y'all been waiting for. Okay, here's the deal. Falling down does not make you a failure. Staying down does. Every time that you ask God for help, every time you ask God to help you think, respond, or react better, you're taking another step toward the man he created you to be. You're not going to get it perfect every time. No, you're not. But you're going to get stronger. You're going to get wiser and more grounded in his purpose. That is how warriors of faith are made. That's all I got for today, folks. Remember, the fight is not over just because you fell down. Get back up. Keep leaning on God. Keep striving to be better. And don't forget to join me this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time for our live Thanksgiving episode. Until next time, keep believing, keep striving, and keep living a life full of faith and fortitude. Semper Fi, and God bless. Hoorah.